if you're lucky, you can be proactive about these things, right? Like, and I would say, like, for a lot of people who might work in volatile industries, it might make sense to go ahead and create a personal checklist or proactive, if I'm ever laid off, these are the 20 things I want to make sure that I do. If you think that this is something that may be happening to you, then go ahead and create your own list. But what you don't want to do is to kind of succumb to this feeling of powerlessness, right? Like all of a sudden, the big bad employer takes your paycheck away, takes your title, takes your role and your upward mobility. You want to be in a position of power. And I think just being prepared is going to be a part of that. But also knowing that, all right, if I couldn't prepare, here's at least what I know that I need to be doing so that I can react to the situation and actually get the most out of it.
Welcome to the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success, where we explore life at the intersection of money. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Julian. And today we're talking about what to do if you've been suddenly laid off. And I know this is like two back-to-back
womps.
We were talking about a recession, but you could argue that this is an extension of that conversation, because the unfortunate result of a recession, or even just the threat of a recession, is layoffs. And so, one, I just want to start with offering apologies to anyone that this might be sensitive topic, or if you've just been laid off, hopefully this actually is something that is informative for you. Even better, if this is something that may happen to you and you're trying to prepare for it, we hope that we can give you a chance to kind of think about it so that you can prepare and act accordingly.
Yeah, it's been an interesting swing, because 3 months ago, Vox actually reported that layoffs and employer-initiated separations were at a record low, right?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, like the lowest in two decades. And this was mainly because of the labor shortages as a result of the Great Resignation. And this kind of was isolated to low-wage jobs. And companies were working really hard to keep their staff on board. If you all remember, like going to restaurants and hotels and flight, everything in the service industry was kind of impacted. So now, 3 months later, to see some of these blue chip growth companies like Netflix and Carvana and Cameo, all of these companies lay off.
Well, even like Wells Fargo. Like, I mean, it's happening everywhere across
several industries.
I think we've seen sort of the beginning of it starting in growth companies, which is impacting tech and even like related tech fields like biotech. And
Because when tech pulls back, that affects other industries. That's why we don't like talking about tech like it's some isolated industry. We live in a digital society. And so when a company as big as Netflix or some of these other companies have to lay off upwards of a quarter of their workforce, it's not the case with Netflix, but some of these companies are laying off a quarter of their workforce, it affects everyone. It creates a ripple.
Yeah.
And it's also this timely reminder that there just aren't many guarantees when it comes to your salary here in the United States.
Jobs are temporary.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten laid off?
No. I always thought I would have been. I came close.
Yeah.
Like when I left my corporate job, I came pretty close to being laid off. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a bit of a survivor of multiple rounds of reorganizations and massive layoffs. But those are scary times, man. And, you know, it's really just, it's like a roll of the dice. You never know. There's never really a good reason. Obviously, it just kind of happens for reasons that are above you.
Yeah.
In some cases, it happens because of poor performance or bad fit or something like that. But I mean, what we're talking about are sort of macro forces, larger industry forces, or just economical forces that oftentimes have an impact on employment. And so that's where we are. That's what we're talking about. What about you? Have you ever been laid off?
Yeah, I've never actually gotten laid off from a job before. My position has been eliminated, but in those instances, I've been placed in other roles within the company. And I usually saw those coming. I could usually tell either my boss would give me a heads up,
or
you could just kind of feel that there would be a reorg and that you would be impacted. And so those I usually saw coming, but I think the more common kind and the kind we're hoping to address today is the kind that you're talking about. It's unexpected. It's a bit of a surprise. They're usually reactions to a business not hitting quarterly targets or quite honestly, you know, they're cost cutting measures. And so
it may not even be in your region, if we're being honest, right? If you work for a large global company, it could be that the China business is down,
right?
That's
what's happening.
Yeah. And it's like, it just has a ripple effect, you know, in the Americas or something like that. So it's just something to be mindful of if you're one of those people who are looking at it and saying, oh, well, that's not going to impact me. That's happening over there. We live in a global economy. And if you work for a global company, it can absolutely impact you.
All right, let's dive in.
All right, let's do it. So first thing you should do, absolute first thing you should do is kind of give yourself some time to just grieve and absorb what just happened. Process like this moment, because it can be really, really emotional. So do yourself a favor, get outside. If you have a therapist, give them a call. If you don't have a therapist, this might be a good time for you to seek one out. Whatever it takes, just make sure that you are taking some time to heal from the process, because it can be bruising. And so instead of rushing into developing a plan, which is what I would have probably done, don't be like me. Like, actually just take the day, take 2 days if that's what it takes to absolutely clear your head, because it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff going on. It can very much feel like death, right? Like you're suffering from a loss of some sort, right? And not just a loss of income. It could be loss of just routine, a loss of social networks, a loss of benefits, all kinds of things. And we're going to get into that. But I understand why people feel like, all right, I'm going to hit the ground running, because it's like there's a race and I'm going to be the first one to apply for the next available openings or something like that. That probably isn't your best bet. Take your time to really kind of think about what your next move is. It may not even be that you want to go back to the same company or even stay within the same industry or even the same state. But just take your time, really kind of give it all an opportunity to settle in so that you can make a smart move for whatever the next chapter of your life or your career may be.
Yeah, we realize this is a bit of a luxury for some people. The thought of going even a couple of days without knowing where their next check is coming from can create a lot of anxiety and stress. But if you can do it, we highly recommend it. Not just because of the reasons that Julian said in terms of grieving and the emotional reasons, but even on a more pragmatic level, telling other people that you've lost your job or even going through the application process to find new work can be psychologically taxing.
Yeah.
The process inherently requires vulnerability, some storytelling, and a whole lot of rejection. So piling that on top of everything you've got going on can do more damage than good. So again, if you can take a day or two or even longer, please do.
Can I interject for a second?
Sure.
Because I want to add what not to do. When I think about, so I do remember, because you actually reminded me as you were talking about a job being eliminated, right? But we were sort of positioned. I don't remember what year that was. Was that 2016, 17, something like that? But that happened to us while we were working together. And I'll tell you what not to do, because I was on a business trip when it was all going down. And I was just like, you know what? F it. And we ran up the corporate card.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No confessions.
We went to dinner. This is a long time ago, so it's not going to impact me. I'm just saying, don't do this, right? I was fortunate that it did not, you know, lead to anything traumatic, but I just ran up the card, dude.
I mean, we were traveling on business,
restaurant.
To be clear.
I was in California, and yeah, we had fun, because we were just like, you know what? I am not going to let this bring me down. And that was the last time I had like a drink and a pineapple. We felt that in the morning, but it was a tough night. There's probably some footage out there. If I could ever run for office, it'll probably make its rounds on TMZ or something. But yeah, but don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, before we move to the next thing, I just want to clarify that, and I'm sure most of our listeners know this, but there is a difference between being laid off and being fired, right? When you're fired, your compensation options are limited. You may or may not be eligible for unemployment benefits, and you probably don't qualify for severance. But when you're laid off, you have some options, and it's important to go into the experience knowing that. So I think the second thing people should do is find out all the compensation that they're eligible for, both from your employer and from your government. So like I mentioned, some employers will offer a severance package that can be based on a number of things. Sometimes it's flat across the board, like everybody gets, you know, 4 weeks pay. Sometimes it can be based on your tenure, how long you've been with the company, or even your position. So when we were traditionally employed, VPs tended to get more than middle managers, for example, right? So if you get offered a severance package, don't be afraid to negotiate or even just engage with HR around the terms. If it's a mass layoff affecting a department or several people, they may try to streamline the process and discourage that level of interaction. Ignore that,
yeah.
Right? Ask for what you want or need. Ask if you qualify for a prorated bonus payout based on last year's performance. If you need extended health care, ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you qualify for unemployment, but don't know where to begin, if you need that step-by-step on how to apply for it, go ahead and ask for it. Some of these things, like unemployment checks, take several weeks to get started. So if you are thinking that you might be eligible, you want to inquire about all of it, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Everything. Vacation payouts, PTO. Just take
personal
take,
time.
Take up space, baby.
Floating holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whatever it Vested, is, whatever it's called.
Anything.
If you have a chance to negotiate it or ask for it, go ahead and do it. And I'm not going to say in my experience because I've not gone through this, but just having done a little bit of research about what these processes look like, I think it's important to note that this is a legal exercise for employees,
mm-hmm.
right? HR is there. In some cases, they hire an external firm to handle
yep.
it because things can get complicated. And so what the company is really looking for is to get this over with as quickly as possible. They're trying to minimize damage. And so I'm not saying be the disruptor, be the annoying person. But know that because that's what you want, there is a little bit of leverage there to say, all right, well, I want to avoid this being a long drawn out challenge too, right? A long drawn out issue. So here's what I'm looking to do. Here's what I need. I've got a kid with special needs, et cetera. And you want to go ahead and like make those things known so that you don't end up just accepting whatever they're giving
yeah.
and it not actually being sufficient for your particular life. So yep. along those lines, speaking of kind of administrative things, I've got a few other things that I want to offer you guys to make the most of your remaining time there, assuming this is something that happens to you. Because it's very easy to get caught up in like senioritis
right.
and just, you know, not log in. Like, I'm just
yeah,
not gonna
like
show
I'm just
up.
Done.
I'm going to go to work hungover. Like, I don't care because it's all a wrap. Again, don't do what I did. You know, be professional. Be strategic, especially if you feel like you're going to actually come back and ask for something. So a couple of things that I think are really, really important. And I'm just telling you now, the list is a little long. So I'm going to do my best to be comprehensive, but to bang through this. The first is to consider pausing your 401k contributions or adjusting your tax withholdings. That way you can make the most of your final couple of paychecks, right? It just kind of makes sense. There's very little value in doing that. Obviously, if you're flush with cash and mm-hmm. you've got other sources of income, you don't need to do that. But if you're not, that's something to think about, right? Go ahead, log in as soon as you get word, pause your contributions. Consider adjusting your tax withholding so that your last couple of checks are going to be a little bit bigger than they normally would be. Second is, at most companies, your health care will remain through your last month of employment. So if they lay you off on, let's say, the 4th, you have until the end of the month, the 30th or the 31st, until you will need a new plan. But if they lay you off on, let's say, the 26th, you might only have a couple of days to actually do that. So regardless of the timeline, if you have something like prescriptions, go ahead and call your doctor and let them know that you are actually anticipating a disruption in your healthcare benefits. That way they can go ahead and consider you for refilling it so that you don't have any hiccups throughout that process. Very, very important, especially if you have like a major illness. Third is ask for recommendations or endorsements from any influential leaders or colleagues that you've worked with.
Yes, this
yes.
is super important.
A lot
Shoot
of people,
your shot.
A lot of people are likely thinking this too, but I can assure you a lot of people don't have the courage to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So have the courage to go ahead and reach out to those people. And quite honestly, lay the guilt trip on.
Lay it on. That's
lay
what I'm
it on
saying.
Thick, like
this
mayonnaise
is a moment
on a sandwich.
Where it's like, this
hey,
is what I need from you specifically.
Listen, go in there
VP.
With a picture of a crying kid if you have to and say, listen, this kid
SVP.
Needs a glowing recommendation
mm-hmm.
on LinkedIn. Go ahead and do it. Because listen, that thing will last you forever, right? That person's validation, this is how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
That person's validation can go a very, very long way. So go ahead and do that. Reach out to your director. Reach out to former bosses. Reach out to the senior VP and say, hey, I would really appreciate if you could leave me a great recommendation for
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. And in most cases, like they will go out of their way to do it. And
yeah.
I'm telling you, most
nobody
people,
likes this time.
No
so.
One likes to go through this,
yeah.
right? And then, you know, quite honestly, it's tough for them, even if they're the ones that have to actually deliver that message. So very, very important. Next You want to go ahead and get independent logins to your 401k or your company-sponsored financial account. So what does that mean? If your company was like the one that we worked with and there was like an intranet that connected you to the login for your actual 401k plan, that means that if you don't have that at insert company domain, you're not going to be able to log into that account. So you want to go ahead and make sure that you have an independent way to log into that account, which can be really, really difficult. In most cases, you want to reach out to the 401k provider directly to see if they can give you the credentials that you need, separately fill out whatever form that you need. But the last thing you want is to be locked out because your email address is now considered inactive.
Yes, and the process to roll over a 401k without a digital footprint is awful.
Yes.
Ask me how I know.
Yes, yes, we have been there. So, all right, keep that in mind. Along the same lines, if you have any logins, right, so not just your 401k, it could be daycare accounts. Mm-hmm. It could be security through ADT because you know, that was a benefit that they offered. Or if you had placed an order with something through an employee benefit, you want to follow up with all of those things because if the person that handled that account or that benefit was also impacted, all of that stuff can get lost in the sauce. So you want to make sure that you sort of list those things out, reach out to any of the service providers or benefit providers that are reliant on your employer or former employer login to make sure that you have access and records to all of the information that you need so that you don't have any issues going forward. Last but not least, and I know this is a lot, if you have any key contacts on a company phone or any important information like photos or documents that live on a company share drive, immediately take that stuff off, save it somewhere. You want to make sure that you have access to that. It could be photography. It could be a personal account, financial documents, health-related documents, anything that may be living on an employer device or a server or anything like that. You want to make sure that you save those things so that they don't get lost as soon as your access is cut off. I will also say this. If there are documents, like professional documents, things like a presentation that you are really proud of or something like that, probably want to set up some time to talk to HR to make sure that you are saving those things. In many cases, that could be considered company intellectual property, right? And I've been here. But the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because I know that these days there's been a huge spike in employer surveillance. And so they can tell if you downloaded a device. And while you may think it's yours because you created this document, if you look at that fine print, that's probably on the cover. It'll say confidential and or private, not to be shared outside of company, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to go ahead and say pro tip, take a picture of the document, but don't just assume that you can download it, email it to yourself and save it.
Put it on LinkedIn.
Put it on LinkedIn. That is actually, that could be tracked. And that could be something that's used against you in the event you are trying to negotiate a severance. And it sounds silly. It sounds petty. But again, this is a legal exercise for these companies. And so they will assume the worst in order to prevent litigation. So if that's something that you want to do, just let your boss know and let that be a part of the ask and say, hey, I need you to go ahead and write a glowing recommendation. And I want you to know that I'm going to download these documents. Can you provide written, you know, confirmation that this is okay for me to do that?
Yep. Yeah. I think this stuff, as much as it may sound like, oh, just another thing to do, it's really important because going through it helps you not let this layoff define you.
Yeah.
It kind of brings you back to the driver's seat. And while the task may seem menial, they make sure that you're well set up for your next move. They kind of put you in charge of you in a very, like, I don't know, psychological way.
Yeah. And I think the other thing here is that, you know, if you're lucky, you can be proactive about these things, right? Like, and I would say, like, for a lot of people who might work in volatile industries, it might make sense to go ahead and create a personal checklist or proactive if I'm ever laid off. These are the 20 things I want to make sure that I do. If you think that this is something that may be happening to you, then go ahead and create your own list. But what you don't want to do is to kind of succumb to this feeling of powerlessness, right? Like all of a sudden, the big bad employer takes your paycheck away, takes your title, takes your role and your upward mobility. You want to be in a position of power. And I think just being prepared is going to be a part of that. But also knowing that, all right, if I couldn't prepare, here's at least what I know that I need to be doing so that I can react to the situation and actually get the most out of it.
Yes, love that. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back shortly with a few more things you can do if you're suddenly laid off. All right, So the fourth thing you wanted to, actually, I don't even know if it makes sense to count anymore because you just listed like 12 things.
It was a category.
It was a category. The fourth category of things you should
do. Watch out.
All right. So the next thing you want to do is adjust your budget.
Yeah.
So again, everybody's situation is different. If you are flush with cash and you're not worried about this job, maybe you're part of the overemployed and you actually have another job waiting, then the advice for you is going to be completely different than the advice that we're giving right now. You may actually want to up your 401k and get all that company match. Like, you never know. But if, generally speaking, if a disruption in income has happened, it's usually a good reason to look at your spending. So we've talked about doing this proactively on several podcasts before this and kind of practicing during the good times so that you know exactly where the fluff is that you can cut. But if you haven't done all that, if you haven't been listening and applying what we've been saying, what you'll want to do is focus on the big three, which are housing, transportation, and food.
Yep.
So with housing, definitely not suggesting that you move when you don't have solid income coming in.
That might actually be impossible if you can't provide a paycheck.
You can't provide pay stubs. But you do want to look at all of your housing expenses beyond just the rent or the mortgage and see if there are areas that you can cut down on or even things that you can sell around the house to create some extra cash, whether it's old patio furniture or extra computer monitors or whatever it is. There are opportunities in all of our homes where we can let things go on Facebook Marketplace or eBay or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now, with your car, presumably, if you no longer have a commute, you may save on gas. There might be an opportunity to call your insurance company and see if you can adjust your plan based off something that is determined around mileage or just shopping around. It might be a good time to change your car insurance. And with food, you may need to change your grocery habits for a few weeks. I'm not saying change your diet forever, but again, to start to collect some of that cash, you might want to look into budget or freezer meals. You might want to look into discount grocery stores or even calling a couple of family members and seeing if there's some, like if you know somebody that has a Sam's Club card or a Costco card, can we buy in bulk and just split, you know, the difference? So get creative, but I would highly recommend starting with the big three.
Yeah, no, I love that. It reminds me of when I was working in restaurants. We used to have a phrase called a skeleton crew. They probably had the same thing in retail, right? Skeleton crew, meaning it's going to be slow. And normally there might be 10 people on staff. It's down to three. We know that we need a minimum of three people. One person in the front, one person in the back, one person roaming the halls or something like that. And I think the same thing happens with your budget. You just figure out what your new... like, what's your number? Like, this is my beer budget. And I know that so long as I have this, I'm good. And I may not be able to do this comfortably forever, but I know that I don't need to be freaking out because I can get by. I know I've got a roof over my head. I've got my car. I've got these things kind of taken care of. And I think to your point about your budget, I'm kind of thinking about people who have, let's say, a severance. Oftentimes, they may say, oh, well, you're going to get 3 months pay, right? Mm-hmm. And you can either find comfort or fear in that. Well, some people say, oh, well, 3 months, all right, well, it's better than nothing. But again, that's based on like your current salary.
Exactly.
If you've got a bare bones budget,
you
could turn
that
3 months into five or six, right? So take that time to comb through and get rid of the fluff. Like, be honest, like me right now, as I'm thinking about Showtime. I bought Showtime on Prime Video because I wanted to watch two things, and I tried to cancel it in the app, and they couldn't let me cancel it in the app. Like, it's real tricky.
I know.
So I got to, you know, and I'm too lazy.
Well, even don't cancel it yet because P-Valley's coming back, and so is
I don't watch P-Valley.
Couples Therapy.
I do want to see Couples Therapy, but you know what I mean? Like, it's little stuff like that. You just let it go, and it's $15 or something like that.
It
might
matters.
Seem small, but when you add that up with all the other nitpicky
things. It certainly
things
helps cover groceries and a number of other things.
Absolutely. So pay attention to those details, especially in moments like this. Secondly, if you're eligible, apply for unemployment benefits. And this is different for every state, so the process is going to be different. Do yourself a favor. Again, if you have a chance to be proactive here, you don't have to be learning the process while also in need of the process. It doesn't hurt to take a moment to go into the website, see how long it might take, see what the processing time is going to be like so that you can factor all of that stuff into your situation if it actually happens to you. Third, if you have an emergency fund, well, Let's look at it. Like, how much
did you
have?
Yeah, this is an emergency.
This is probably considered an emergency. Yeah. Like, we don't have to be thinking about this in terms of aliens or floods, right? Like, a sudden loss of income is an emergency. And so when you stitch together what a severance looks like for 3 months, and then you factor in, let's say, a bare bones budget, which extends that to 4 months, and then you talk about an emergency fund, you might be, assuming you've built one up, you might have somewhere between 6 to 12 months of time where you can actually try to figure out what your next step could be. And I think that helps to make this process seem a little less scary. I'll also say, while we're saying it, if you've never thought about using an emergency fund for this reason, well, then this is exactly why you would want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So let this threat of a recession and a potential layoff be the reason why you might say, well, I might want to reconsider how much I'm going to put in my emergency fund. And last thing I'll say about emergency fund, I hate the 3 to 6 months. It's like twice as large or half as, it's like,
it's a big range.
It's a big range, yeah. Right? And some people will say, you know, even in the pandemic periods, it was like upwards of 12 months, 10 months, or 6 months, even enough. No one knows. But like, find a number that's more comfortable for you. And I think especially for people who've been laid off, they're probably going to say the longer, the better.
Yeah.
Last thing I would say is ask yourself if there are other savings accounts that you can actually tap into above and beyond your emergency fund. This could be your HSA, like a health savings account. This could be a sinking fund. It could be a dangling vacation fund or a home renovation fund, something that you've had that you've been holding or setting aside that might be a potential source of income for you to help solve for a shortfall of cash during this time period. So if you have to do that, even if it's temporary, just make sure that you are aware of all of the different pockets or pools of income that you can rely on to help get you over the hump.
Yeah, I love all of those tips because I think when we tell people to adjust their budget, they immediately go to the areas that they can cut.
They're just looking at the checking account.
Yeah, they're just looking at spending and they're just looking at checking account.
Yeah.
But what you're suggesting is actually to look at all of the income sources as well. Yeah. Include that severance, that vacation payout, unemployment benefits, any other savings accounts, emergency fund, just so you feel a sense of security around this moment in time, and then make a plan based off of that, right? Yep. Don't assume that you can just copy and paste your current lifestyle. To your point, do both, burn the candle at both ends. So that's actually a good jumping off point to the last thing that you should do, and certainly not the least, you need to start your job hunt, right? There are lots of steps to starting the job hunt, and the order that you take kind of depends on how long you were at your former employer, how in demand your skills are, and really how healthy your professional network is. You do want to enter this process with a lot of mojo. So I suggest starting with some inner work so that you can sell yourself with confidence. So before you update your resume, like again, to Julian's point, don't just jump into doing this. Don't just go in as soon as you're laid off and adjust the end date of your former employer. You really want to think through these steps. First, you want to decide if you're going for a lateral move or if you want to use this as an opportunity to level up. That changes the way that you write about your experience.
Yep.
Looking like a project manager who is ready to lead a team is very different from looking like a project manager who is a subject matter expert and wants to remain a project manager.
Mm-hmm.
I also recommend that you go back and listen to our podcast on upskilling and use some of the tools that we mentioned in that episode to ensure that you're using the right language to describe your skills. Many of the skills have evolved over the years and either have become more expansive or restrictive. So you just want to make sure that you're using modern day terms and terminologies to reflect what recruiters are looking for. You'll want to determine if you want to stay in the same industry. So again, going back to the project manager example, a project manager in finance may require totally different language and experiences than a project manager in, say, healthcare. Knowing that in advance can help you craft a resume that gets a hiring manager's attention, or at least have multiple versions of your resume. This is one of like the more surprising things that I learned from people as they're applying for jobs is that people still only have one version of the resume.
Mm-hmm.
You need like probably 6 or 7, depending on what kind of roles you're applying for. There's not a single version of the truth of your career. Create multiple versions. And then another thing to think about is whether you want to work with a recruiter or a headhunter. So these are people that are skilled in matching jobs with candidates. And again, If you're on LinkedIn, they're really easy to find and use. LinkedIn has an open to work option, and it's basically like a flag that tells recruiters like, hey, you look at my profile. And using the open to work function is as simple as changing a button on your profile.
Yeah.
Like, for people who are not on LinkedIn, it's hard to explain. But if you're on LinkedIn, you know that this functionality exists. And then lastly, I know this is a list. This episode is full of lists today. You just want to practice what you're going to say when someone says, so tell me about yourself, or why did you leave your last employer? And you want to, again, have multiple answers. Don't make getting laid off the star of the story when somebody says, tell me about yourself, or why did you leave your last employer? Why are you looking to work here? You want to keep practicing until the layoff is just a fun fact in the story and not the story. You don't want to lead with that.
Yeah. No, those are all great tips. All right. So the last point I want to make is kind of give yourself the power, the freedom, if you will, to be picky, be a little bit selective. Do your Google research, right? It's a great, great tool, even though pretty much the entire first page is all paid ads these days. But do
click
your
on the
research,
news tab,
right? So if I'm just going to make up a company, Acme Enterprise, right? You know, throwback to like Looney Tunes or something like that. Look up the company, but like go to the news tab. Like, you never want to get the news of a company from the company, because that's always going to be a glowing response. Go to the news tab. See what the latest and greatest about that company is. It could be press releases on new innovative things that they're doing. It could be a lawsuit from companies or former employees that are claiming discrimination or some type of sexual harassment or something like that. And so do your research, because you don't want to fall, you know, out of a situation only to jump right back into a company that is likely in a position to do the exact same thing. So just don't look at the employer website. Make sure that you go outside of that. Go on websites like Indeed, see what recent employees have said or how they rated that company. And again, try to see what latest and greatest information you can find on Google instead of just kind of spraying and praying and applying everywhere that you can. You want to be specific and give yourself the credit that you deserve. You're a worthwhile candidate and you deserve to be a little picky.
That's right. I love that. Kanika Tolver is the author of a book called Career Rehab, and she always advises that we should date our job.
Yeah.
Even when you get the new gig, if it feels like a dream job, treat it like a date instead of a marriage, right?
Ooh, I like
that. Get to know them. Let them get to know you and decide if you want to stay there or not.
Okay. All right. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
After 20 things, however many things. We should have called it that. Umpteen things to do.
40 things to do if you get laid off. My final thoughts are that layoffs can be hard, but one of the benefits of the Great Resignation and the market volatility that we've kind of experienced these last few years means that there isn't as much of a stigma attached to being laid off as there used to be. But as good as that is, as I guess positive as the stigma of something normal happening, like, I just don't want us to get used to this and make it the new normal without adjusting our own mindset about the roles that jobs play in our life. If anything, this experience should change the way that you budget, the way that you approach your career plan, your emergency fund, and even your investment strategy.
Yeah.
Because planning to quit in advance is always the most powerful and affirming approach.
Yeah.
You can always change your mind and stay, but when you go into a job and strategically plan your exit, you have even more of it options available to you than the 45 that we listed on this episode.
Yeah, no, that's real. I don't know that I have much more to say. Obviously, layoffs can be really, really difficult. I do think maybe this is the 41st thing or however many we named. I think one of the things you should do is talk to someone or talk to people who've been laid off. Some people have already been through this. They have checklists, perspective, lessons that they can offer you. They can give you insights on the unemployment process, tell you what days to go up there, where to park, all kinds of stuff that just make the entire process so much more helpful. So you don't have to start from scratch. So do yourself a favor. If you know someone that's been through those processes, give them a call, see what you can glean from their experience and apply it to your own. And I think it'll help make the entire process and transition that much easier for you.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success. If one of the 511 options we gave you resonated and you like what you heard, please take a moment and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Thank you so much for listening. We will see y'all next week.